You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Justin Howe is a Chicago-based, internationally touring blues and roots singer who hits the stage as the classic one-man and a guitar with a harmonica. He honed his craft by listening to a collection of old recordings discovered in the basement of the University of Chicago while he was a student there. Justin's second record, Wanderlust, is set to release on December 1st. He is our guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles. Hi, Justin. Welcome to the podcast today. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Glad to get a chance to talk to you and talk about your music and your new record, Wanderlust. We're talking to you from Chicago. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, right
away
in the heart
from the windy city.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Right in the heart of Chicago.
In the heart of Chicago.
Okay.
I'm currently in the Little Village neighborhood, which is a little west of downtown.
Okay. And that's been home for how long?
I would say now, let's see, 15 years.
Okay. All right. Awesome.
Yeah, 15 years.
I was reading some of the notes, and I love the story of how you began performing while you were pursuing your PhD. Will you share that with us?
So I began playing music while I was in grad school at the University of Chicago, and partly as a way to take a break from my study, but also just because I enjoyed it. And I started teaching a class at some point in my graduate studies, and I met a drummer, and then also in the class I met a guy who was a good guitarist. And then I had a colleague who was a bass player. Mm. It just turns out all these people we knew who knew each other happened to play different instruments. And I was beginning to write songs and sing at open mics around town. So I decided that maybe we could start recording some of the songs that I had been writing. So I went out to the studio, and I started taking these guys out, and we were laying down some tracks. And eventually there was a friend of ours who heard that we were putting a band together. And, you know, I didn't really think about it as putting a band together. I thought about it as writing songs and recording them. I wasn't really thinking beyond that at the time.
Yeah.
At that conversation, the band had never played together.
Oh, really? Okay.
Been playing individual parts in the studio. So we got together and played at a house party and just had a great time and really, really clicked with each other. And then we started playing around town for a few years, and that was in around 2011.
Okay.
And and then we played for a few years, and then some of these guys had to move on to other parts of the globe. The bass player now lives in the Netherlands, where he was originally from. The drummer is now in Canada, and the guitarist is still here in Chicago. But the tracks that we recorded and that came out of that period are on my first album. We called it Justin Howe Salty Dogs.
Yeah.
And So that was how we started playing music around town. And as I continued my graduate work, when I finished in 2016, I thought I would treat myself, and I didn't have an academic job. It's hard to get one of those these days.
Yeah.
So I decided what I would do is drive down to Oxford, Mississippi, to attend the annual Faulkner conference. And then I said, well, if I'm going down there driving, I might as well book some gigs on the way back. And at this time, I'd never played music outside of Chicago.
Okay.
Gig, that is, So, I step back. I think I had played a few gigs there in the town, in one or two other towns. But anyway, I had not toured before.
Uh-huh.
So I went on a short tour, and after the first night, I realized, I could actually do this.
Yeah.
long term.
Yeah.
So I've been doing it ever since.
And that was a solo gig, right? You weren't with any of your bandmates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah. My touring has all been solo, actually.
Yeah.
I find that, I guess that was the first thing that I had done. I've talked with some other guys about taking an act on the road before. I now play with some other guys here in town. Sometimes when the gig calls for it, we'll get a gig at a bar here and there, or a gig at the university, and ask these guys to come play, and they've expressed interest in going on the road, and we've talked about this happened yet, but maybe some kind of
And you have Mississippi roots, right? Is that where you started originally?
I was born and raised in Mississippi, and came to Chicago, and from Mississippi I moved to Texas for about 3 or 4 years.
All
and
right.
Then from Texas I came to Chicago.
Three good states for blues. All three different kinds of blues,
yeah,
too.
Not bad. Different kinds of blues.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
When did the journey in music and this love of blues start for you? How far back in your young life, childhood maybe?
One of my earliest memories of blues music this was when my grandfather took me to Meridian, Mississippi, and told me about the Blue Yodeler, Jimmy Rogers.
Yeah. Okay.
And then later, when we got home, he had a couple of vinyls that Jimmy Rogers that he played for him. I now have those in my own collection.
Oh, awesome.
But anyway, I had learned Jimmy Rogers' music growing up, and knew about him, the so-called singing brakeman, also known as the singing brakeman. But
mm-hmm.
Eventually I learned that he had sources. He was drawing from black musicians that he had learned from,
uh-huh.
and was basically taking the 12-bar blues and giving it his own little spin. Instead of doing a turnaround at the top and going to the one, he would yodel. But I also learned not too long ago that Jimmy Rogers and Howling Wolf were kind of chummy at times back when Howling Wolf was still living in Mississippi before he moved to Chicago.
Huh.
But um, But yeah, so I sort of was introduced to the blues from Jimmy Rogers, and then looking for sources and learning how it appropriated that music for himself and sort of introduced to a new audience, you know.
Right.
So while I was studying at the University of Chicago, I would often they have a very big record collection that I took advantage
oh, cool.
of, and I would browse and check out things, take them home and listen to it, and I discovered a lot of artists that I'd never heard before, and just really started studying it and enjoying it, and started learning how to do it myself. I have them to credit.
When did it morph into a songwriting pursuit for you? When did those influences begin to push you into that direction?
I think that I was trying to write songs from the very beginning. I sort of, as I mentioned, I cut my teeth some Jimmy Rogers tunes, and then I would start thinking, well, you know, I'm learning a particular style, and then I would develop that style even more.
Uh-huh.
And, I certainly have not stayed within a Jimmy Rogers kind of playing style, but I play more slide guitar now than anything else, or play at least in an open tuning, sometimes slides and not.
Yeah.
But I was using those songs as models, and then thinking about situations that human beings can get themselves into sometimes, and sort of looking at these broad questions and aspects of the human spirit and thing, or asking what might this person feel in this
uh-huh.
situation? What might this person think or say in trying to respond to a particular problem? So I think that's largely what the blues does.
Right.
And so I began as Faulkner might say, creating characters and just kind of sit back and see what happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
See what they get themselves into eventually. So that's how I approach the songwriting task, and that's how I think about it. And sometimes that comes from that kind of inspiration comes from playing a groove that I really like. Maybe it's something that I'm just sitting down with the guitar and I'm playing around and come up with a particular riff or a groove and evoke some kind of feeling that suggests a particular setting.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, you know, I'll start with a phrase, a line, and maybe just a piece of a song, and try to put it to music. I usually work the other way around.
Is that something that you have a intentional process about, or is this is your songwriting kind of an ongoing thing, or do you compartmentalize that in your life?
You know, there are times I think about it as I've got a kind of a hopper, you know, a songwriting hopper, and I'm always trying to add little notes and material, sometimes fully developed songs to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm ready to record something or ready to get something ready to perform live, I'll sort of go off from that. Whenever the news visits you, I would say it's pretty unpredictable. I mean, sometimes I'll dream certain melodies or certain grooves, and I'll wake up and kind of mumble something in my phone, record it, you know, so I'll remember it the next day or later.
That's cool.
But, But sometimes you just sit down and say, well, okay, let's spend some time writing a song.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So and I would say that the songs on my new album are kind of a combination of those those approaches. You know, some of them came out of dreams. Some of them were songs that I just sat down and wrote, intending to write songs. So I would say it's always different, but always trying to be attentive to those opportunities whenever they come up, because they are sometimes surprising and unpredictable.
Yeah, yeah. I love the way you incorporate the harmonica. It has a bit of a Jimmy Reed vibe going on with it. When did mixing the guitar and harmonica together with your music come into play? Has that always been something that you've incorporated together?
excuse me. So that particular decision that I made on this recent album, as you listed, it had a kind of conversation between the guitar and the harmonica throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And I was inspired mostly by this album on Fat Possum label by Fred McDowell and Johnny Woods. Fred McDowell being the guitar player and Johnny Woods playing harmonica.
Mm-hmm.
And the album called Mama Says I'm Crazy.
Okay.
And they tend to have this this conversation between the two instruments, and they're so in sync.
Mm-hmm.
That it's really amazing. So that was sort of my inspiration.
Okay.
for playing in that particular way. When you listen to that record, I think oftentimes in a lot of music, we hear the harmonica played as basically an effect instrument, or it's kind of in the background. But on this record, the guitar and the harmonica are the same volume and mix.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And of course, that's, like you said, Jimmy Reed, that was true of him in Chicago, other Chicago blues artists. That was a time when the harmonica was the loudest instrument in the band.
Yeah.
For particular, you know, depending on the band you're listening to.
Yeah,
course,
yeah.
But, that's what really influenced my decision there in the mix. So I appreciate you noticing that.
Yeah, no, I really... I dig the way you put those two together, and you know, just understanding a bit of the journey of you researching by listening to all of those old records, and then the different exposures to the different regions of blues that have been part of your life, traveling, you know, through to your present destination. All of that, you can. Knowing that, I can feel those different presences in your execution of your different music. So, I really do I appreciate the consciousness if it's that clear, you know, of what it
right.
How it shows up in your music. So it's it's cool. I like the way it all comes out of the mix for sure. Have you been able to get back to playing any? How is it for you and your part of the country and being able to get out and share some of this new music?
Not live yet. So,
yeah, okay.
You know, that was partly, you might be interested in this, being from Virginia. So I was set at the end of March to go out on a long national tour that I do every year, And actually, I was leaving Chicago. I was planning to leave Chicago at the end of the month, at the end of March. And so for the past few years, I've been kind of nomadic. I haven't had a permanent residence.
Okay.
I've been on the road for half of the year at least, you know. So I've been staying in short to long-term places. And I was in a situation where I was checking out of a place that I had been in 3 months, and I was about to go on the road. Well, before I won, my gigs were basically taking me from Chicago to the East Coast, down to Florida, and then out west from there.
Uh-huh.
And those gigs from Chicago to the East Coast were being canceled. And so I got time for me to check out. I realized that, most of my tour may actually end up being canceled. But I said, well, I need to put myself in a position where I can go pick some of these gigs if somehow things do improve.
Right.
Obviously, they didn't. But so I looked at my schedule, and the first gigs that had not canceled yet were two places in Virginia, probably not as far from you. I had a gig in Richmond, which was canceled, and then two outside of Richmond in a town called Farmville and then in Blackstone.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. And about then, 2 hours for me. Yeah.
So, right. So I decided to go to Virginia, find a place, and I had been through that a year before, around March and April, or April actually. Really enjoyed the country.
That beautiful, yeah.
So I decided to go there for a couple of weeks and see what happens. Turns out I was there for 3 months.
Wow.
There in Central Virginia. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I recorded many of these songs.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. So, and then in July, I came back to Chicago and finished recording some other. And then mixed the entire project. You know? So now I have it all finished and have the discs here at my side.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So yeah, I got the album ready to go, and its official release date is December 1st.
Awesome. Well, I love that connection. Thanks for sharing that part of the story. Yeah, so the record is Wanderlust, and as you said, December 1st. How can people get on the list, check out some of the tunes, pre-order maybe, get in touch with you and listen to some of your early music?
The best place is my website, www.justinhowell.com, JustinHowell.com. And there you can, and right now at least, you can get the album for free. I'm available for free download.
Oh, cool.
From various download or streaming options. You can bring it and download the entire album or the tracks that you wish to download.
Yep.
Also, you can listen to the earlier album there. And so, yeah, it'll be on all the main streaming services or perhaps most of them, streaming services. And I have it available on disc, on CDs, if that's something that you still listen to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
good.
You can pre-order it.
Yeah, good. Well, I have enjoyed talking to you about this music, and I certainly have enjoyed listening to it, and I wish you well with it. I'm sure you will get a lot of positive response, and I would love to catch you when you come back through our area, and we certainly encourage the listeners to watch out for your upcoming tour. We hope sooner than later, for sure.
Yeah, I hope so.
Great. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Greg. It's been a pleasure.
Let's take a listen to Wanderlust. It's the title track of his new record.
Sweet babe, I got some things I want to say. It's been on my mind nearly all today. I wanna make you my one and only girl. I wanna be in your life and part of your world. And don't you ever let nothing pull us apart. I got love. love in my lawn, got love in my heart. Sweet baby, know you must look nice. I wanna hug you once and then kiss you twice. I've been waiting all day just to see your face. I wanna hold you close in a warm embrace. And don't you ever let nothing pull us apart. I got love in my lawn, got love in my heart. Sweet baby, now I'm standing at your gate. Sweet baby, hope you don't make me wait. I wanna get to know you like Adam knew Eve. I wanna get as close as a flower and a pea. And don't you ever let nothing pull us apart. I got love in my lungs, got love in my heart. Sweet baby, won't you buzz me in? I got takeout for two and a bottle of gin. We can have our fill and then have some more. We can have dessert and eat it down on the floor. And don't you ever let nothing pull us apart. I got love in my lungs, got love in my heart. Baby, I'm still standing outside. I'm beginning to think that maybe you forgot. It just can't be that you're not home, cause your car's outside and your lights are on. I hope you never let nothing pull us apart. I got love in my loins, got love in my heart. Sweet baby, wonder who is that man just walked outside in your shirt and pants. Could it be true that he's your beau? Well, he may not be, but he seems as though. I thought you'd never let nothing pull us apart. I got love in my lungs, I got love in my heart.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.